Tomorrow symbolizes hope.
Good night, everybody. It's so good to have you guys connected. If you haven't shared, I encourage you, share it so that everybody else can hear it. If you're here, welcome. It's so good to have you here. And I'm so excited. My name is Alice Arbell. You guys see me in interaction. And I feel very honored just to be here with you guys tonight. And today, we are going to keep talking about faithfulness. Last week, when we did our late night coffee, we were talking about the importance of being faithful in the desert. So today, I want us to focus on what it means to remain faithful and obeying God while the world around us is telling us to do the opposite or is coming against us. And the amazing thing about faith is that with faith, God is always gonna tell you what he expects from us, but he's never going to tell you what you're gonna go through in the process, right? And so we see this as an example with Abraham in Genesis. In Genesis 12, verse 1, it tells us, "Leave your country and your relatives and your father's family and go to the land that I will show you." So with this, we see that what does God expect of Abraham? He expects him to leave everything that he has and to go to where he's telling him to go. The thing is that he doesn't tell him how he's gonna get there or what's the process that he's gonna go through. And so it's the same with our lives. You know, God expects something from us and he tells us, but he's not gonna show us the path. And so I think this is where we can all kind of deviate. This is where many people decide to take things in their matters. You know, they decide to do what they think is right, rather than obeying God and following the will and the promises that God has for us. And we have been talking about the Israelites, where Jesus took them out of Egypt and they were going through the desert. They were going through this promise, you know, to that promised land. And we're gonna keep reading that story. We're gonna read tonight in Numbers 13. And I'm gonna read verse 1 and 2 for you guys, so you guys can see where they are at the moment. So it tells us like this. It says, God speaks to Moses and he tells him, send men to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I will give to the Israelites. Send chiefs from each of the 12 tribes to tribes of his ancestors. So what they're doing here is God is already showing them, this is the promised land. So take out of those 12 tribes, take a leader and take them so that they can explore that land. And so this was a big thing because these people were waiting. They have been waiting for this promised land. And now that they had it right there, they understood that, wow, God is faithful. That land that he promised our ancestors, it is true, it is real, and it's right here. And so the crazy thing is that we hear that this promised land was fruitful. It was flowing with milk and honey. And we see this because in verse 23 of Numbers, it's explaining how this land was fruitful. And I like when it says in verse 23, it mentions that one cluster of grapes had to be carried by two men on a pole. So imagine how big those grapes were, you know? And when they saw these, fruit and everything of this land, they realized that, wow, this is the land that God promises. Nothing like this can ever exist if it wasn't because of God. So they were able to see, but despite everything that they were seeing, they also saw that there was a problem. Because even though they found the promised land, now they figured out that there were enemies. And immediately uncertainty struck them. Because although they saw that this land was where God wanted them to be, this was the promised land that they had been searching, they also saw that there was a lot of setbacks. The problem that we have as humans is that, you know, nobody likes to be uncertain, right? Nobody likes to consider that something's gonna go wrong. Nobody wants anything to go wrong, right? And the problem is that, like I mentioned, God is never going to show us the whole process. He's never gonna give us the whole plan. What he's gonna do is he's gonna keep encouraging us to be faithful despite, even though we don't know where we're going, that we have to be faithful. And as we keep reading, and this is the second report, after these spies had gone out, they saw everything of that land, Numbers 13, verse 32 and 33 says like this. It says, they began to spread among the Israelites the following bad report about the land. The land that we traversed and explored will devour everyone who will live there. All the inhabitants we saw are huge. There were even giants of the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's how they looked at us. So when we see the story, is that the problem with uncertainty is that if we're not careful, it can provoke an attitude within us of unbelief. For us to question the will of God, that promises that God has given us, when uncertainty comes, we start to doubt. And then it's going to lead us to minimize the promise that God has in our lives. It starts to invalidate the power and the ability that God has, and we allow the enemy to come and distort that and allow the enemy to make us think of those doubts and forget about what God had already promised us. And uncertainty, there are moments that I'm sure we all go through that, you know, desires that we have or things that we wanna do that sometimes we don't really have to pray for them and they just happen without us trying any efforts. But then we do go through situations and processes where doesn't matter how much we pray, doesn't matter how much we cry out to God, doesn't matter how much we fast and we pray and we worship, sometimes we never see that light at the end of the tunnel, right? We never see that there's gonna be a conclusion to it or how we're gonna fix it. And that's the problem with uncertainty. And these spies, that's what they were going through. They saw that land. But think about it. Most of us, when we read the story, we can say, oh, you know, we can judge the spies and say, oh, you know, they could have been faithful. You know, God had already told them about it. But analyze yourselves. Let's analyze ourselves. How many times do we not act the same way like the spies? You know, how many of us think about that? You know, how many of us go through a process and we just want to throw in the towel? We just want to give up. We don't want to keep going because we don't see that anything's getting better. Things go, instead of going from bad to good, we see things going from bad to worse. And a lot of times in the midst of those processes, it's so easy for us to just throw in the towel and give up. Sometimes we even lose strength and power, and even our devotion is shaken when we go through things like this. For example, I'm gonna give you an example with me, okay? Just being here tonight has been a process for me. Being here tonight, I was a process that so many times there was uncertainty in my life, and I always knew that God had a promise and a purpose for my life. And as a choleric, I'm the type of person that likes to have lists that has to, you know, we're gonna do this, we're gonna go from point A to point B to do this, even a road tips and everything, like, I'm just that type of person. But with God, it wasn't like that. And he was calling me to do something. And the first thing that I thought, I was like, man, that's amazing. You know, that's like my promise line. That's the promise that he gave me. But you know what? Then doubt started to come. Then I was uncertain, man, is this really my calling? Is this really what God wants me to do? Well, I don't know if I'm equipped for it. And so I started to let all that doubt and all those fears of what's gonna happen or what about if I fail, take control of that promise. And I remember one time we were talking with Pastor, and you can even ask him and my husband. A lot of times it'd be like, yeah, you know, you are gonna be a pastor, you know, God is equipping you. And so many times I was like, no, I don't want it. I don't want to, you know, no, I just want to be like normal. And it's like, you know, what pastors are supposed to, are abnormal or something? No. And so I would have this mentality. And then I remember one time Pastor was like, you know what? I can tell you're gonna be a pastor every single day, but until you believe it, until you really understand it and you trust God is going to take you where he needs to take you, then nothing's ever gonna change. And so we all go through situations like that. You know, what happens to me happens to all of us, I'm sure. When we're going through those deserts, you know, we start to focus more on what could happen. What about if I fail? What about this doesn't happen? What about this? What about that? And we allow the enemy to enter into our hearts and our minds and doubt that promise that God already gave us. We forget that God already gave us a promise And he is going to help us through that. But because uncertainty, we allow that uncertainty to take over us, we focus more on everything around us than that promise. And the thing is that with when you're faithful to God, being faithful to God does not mean that everything's gonna be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not gonna have any issues, that you're not gonna go through problems. Absolutely not. And we see it all throughout the Bible. The amazing thing is that God is calling us to be faithful despite that pain, despite that uncertainty. And tonight, what I want you guys to think about, what I want to bring to you guys is, you know, how can we stay faithful to God when all we see around us is full of deserts, when we can't find the exit, when we feel like the enemy's breathing down our necks and it's knocking right there? What do we do to stay faithful? So tonight, I want to give you four things that you can do when you're going through those uncertainties. And one of them is prayer. We have to depend on prayer. We have to seek God in prayer. In those difficult moments with uncertainty, when we depend on prayer, the thing is that with prayer, just because you pray doesn't mean things are gonna change. The thing with prayer is that it changes us. It gives us peace and it gives us joy in the midst of your desert, in the midst of your pain. And you can see this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. It tells us this. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Thus, they will experience the peace of God, which surpasses all that we can understand. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus." And I love this last part because it's telling us that through prayer, God is gonna guard our hearts and our minds. That when uncertainty comes, that's like the first thing that the enemy attacks you in the way you think. It starts making you doubt. But when we pray, we're focusing on him and not our problems, not our doubts. We begin to focus on those promises that he has given us, on the promises that are in his words. And when we do that, all fear and negativity goes away. And the thing is that most of us, or a lot of people, think that just because God is omniscient, which is all-knowing, like, well, there's no need for me to pray. God already knows what I'm going through. God knows the situation. God knows my fears. Yeah, he's omniscient. But again, prayer is not for what it can do for him, but is what it can do for us. Prayer changes us. Prayer gives us joy and peace in the midst of it. Number two, the second thing you can do is we have to learn to humble ourselves before the Lord. And I think a lot of us maybe struggle with like what humbleness means. And we struggle with it because we're so focused on what everybody else thinks. But when you humble yourself before the Lord, it doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're less because you're humbling yourself. Instead, when we come and humble ourselves to God, we're saying, hey, I can't do it on my own. I need you, so I'm here. And so when we humble ourselves, we're telling God, you know what? I'm incapable of taking care of the situation, and I need you. I need you to intervene in the midst of the situation that I'm going through. The thing is that when you humble yourself, that's like the wisest thing that anybody can ever do. Because we are so focused on what everybody else thinks, what the world thinks, who my neighbor is watching, or how he's gonna see me, that we forget that the opinion that should matter the most to us is God's and nobody else's. Think about it. When we come to our services and we have that time of worship where we can sing, where we can do all these things, why is it sometimes so hard for us to raise our hands, to sing out loud, you know? A lot of times it's because we're so worried about everybody else. But then we say, oh, let's go to the house of the Lord and let's worship. But then even with the worship, you're humbling yourself to God. Okay, even though my husband's the worship pastor, I promise you I cannot hold the beat and I can't sing. But you know what? When I'm worshiping God, it doesn't matter because he accepts my worship as I am. And so that's what it is to humble yourself before Christ. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 tells us this. So humble yourselves before the great power of God. In his due time, he will raise you up with honor. Put all your worries and anxieties in the hands of God because he cares for you. Like, this is God saying, you know what? I'm here. Lay it on me. Come on. I can take it. Come. Just come and humble yourself before me. And it's so amazing because it says it in the last part, because he cares for you. So he knows you're going through a tough situation. So he's saying, you know what? Come to me. Come because I will lift you up. Come because I do care for your life. So come to me. And number three, apart from praying, humbling ourselves to God, we have to trust him. We have to solemnly trust him completely. And I know trust is probably hard sometimes. I mean, think about it. How many times has another human being probably, you know, said something and didn't keep their promise or let you down? I'm sure I've had a lot. I'm sure you have too. That's the thing. But with God, God is a faithful God. He is never, that's the one person that we can always depend on because he is faithful. If we truly want to be obedient to God, we can't depend on our own reasoning. We can't depend on what we think is best for us. Because that's what betrays us. That's what happened to the spies. They thought about themselves. They thought, oh, maybe this is not really where God wants us to do because we see all these obstacles. Maybe this is not where we need to be. So our thoughts are going to betray us. But when we depend on God, when we trust him with everything, he's going to show us the way. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 7 tells us this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in everything that you do, and he will show you which way to go. Don't be impressed by your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and stay away from evil. And number four, if you didn't get the other three, number four, we have to believe in his eternal love, okay? And it's so amazing because God loved us so, so much that he took it upon himself to fix our eternity. Not just today, but our eternity. Like, imagine, eternity. He took it upon himself to send his son, Christ, at the cross to suffer, to go through these things so that you and I could be before his presence. So you and I can be forgiven for our sins. And the thing with God and his love is that it's not limited. You know, it's not limited and restricted to now, just now. It's not limited or restricted to life itself. But he manifests his love for all of us, for all eternity. That's why in Psalms, the psalmist says in chapter 121, it says, the Lord delivers you from evil and takes care of your life. The Lord protects you as you enter and leave, now and forever. These four examples should push us to want to obey God, even though we're in the worst part of this desert, even though we're going through these processes where uncertainty comes, even though pain is knocking at our door, even though we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, if tomorrow my issue is going to get fixed, even if we don't know that, even though we have all these doubts that saying otherwise, we have to keep depending on Christ. We have to depend on that prayer. We have to come before God and ask him for him to help us see what he wants us to see, to trust on him and to obey him in everything that we do. And we will learn to be faithful when we do these things. When we go back to the story, you know, I can say all these things, right? But you're probably like, well, yeah, it's better said than done, obviously, right? If it was easy, then we wouldn't be here. You know, it would be easy and we wouldn't have to really talk about this because it would have been easy. But if we go back to the story of Numbers, where these spies went, Joshua and Caleb, I'm sure, you know, they struggled, you know, believing in God when they were hearing all these things that these spies were saying. They were probably confused. You know, it wasn't easy for them to continue trusting and being faithful to the Lord. And I think this is what changes everything. Even though it wasn't easy for Caleb and Joshua to keep trusting, the thing is that they decided to take a different attitude despite their uncertainty. So the way you decide to take that process is what matters. And okay, so when we keep reading this story in Numbers 14, the next chapter, it talks about what happens. After these spies were hearing everything that was going on, what happened? So all these people of Israel were coming and they were complaining to God. They began to cry and they even wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. So I'm a big Marvel, and you know, my husband's like, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, all these things. So think about, like, if you've never seen the Infinity War movie, okay? So I think about this, you know, that last movie was like so exciting. You know, they're in war, they're in battle, they're ready to go. You're excited to see who pops up and all these things are happening. And this is kind of like what I see, okay? So just picture this, wherever you are, just picture this with me. So they're in this moment where everybody else is complaining. There's this craziness going on. And in verse 6 and 9, it tells us this. Joshua and Caleb, okay? It says, they tore their clothes and said to all the people of Israel, the land that we crossed and explored is wonderful. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely to that land and hand it over to us. It's a fertile land where milk and honey flow. Do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of that land. They are like helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. So imagine, this is like their speech to pump everybody up. You know, when they were saying this, what we see in these verses is that Joshua and Caleb didn't go with the flow. They decided to believe in God and they spoke according to his word and promises, not of what their eyes were seeing, right? Not because of they saw the enemies. No, they spoke of that word and that promise that God had already given him. They put all their trust in God and they glorified him in the midst of their opposition. And so, okay, picture this. Like I said, you know, like in a battle, you know, this is kind of like the moment of the movie, the climax where everybody just, you know, grabs their weapon and they go and fight and do what they gotta do. But this is like a plot twist. This is not what happened. What happened is that after they gave this speech to motivate them to keep trusting God, that he was gonna give them that land, it says it that everybody else wanted to stone them to death. I mean, after this speech that they gave, the people, instead of taking it, they were so uncertain. There was so much uncertainty in their lives that they decided, you know what? We need to kill these guys because they ain't getting our memo. So the thing is that Joshua and Caleb stood firm. They were faithful. And the Bible tells us that God appeared to them in the desert. In verse 10, it tells us that the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites in the tabernacle. So when Joshua and Caleb are talking this and are trying to stay strong, I'm sure they didn't do it because they expected God was gonna really take him out of that. They didn't do it for something in return from God, but they believed that they decided to be faithful to God, even if it cost their lives. Because you know what? It's better to be faithful to God until death than to live without God's approval. Many times being faithful to God is going to be the hardest, most difficult, and painful thing that we can ever do. But you know what? It's the most comforting and most wonderful thing that you can do. We see it throughout the Bible. Not just Joshua and Caleb, but we see it with the disciples. They went through death. They had to do that. But God was there with them despite their circumstance. And the thing is that our faithfulness, it doesn't lie with what I want or what I want to see. It doesn't lie with what's convenient for me, but it lies in that what God already did for us. It lies in that great love that He has for us. That amazing love that He has for us, that He brought Christ to the cross. That love that left us with lots of promises in the scripture. In the midst of our deserts, in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of our confusion, we have to remain faithful to God, to keep our eyes fixed on Him, to keep trusting Him, depending on Him in prayer, humbling before His presence, trusting Him and believing in that eternal love that He has for us. When we do that, we come to the realization that He has never left us, that He has never forsaken us, that the same way that He supported Joshua and Caleb, that's the same way that He's gonna lift you up. That's the same way that He's gonna be there for you. And even though you don't see Him, even though God remains silent in your process, in your desert, even if you feel like you're alone, or even if you don't see that anything is happening, or that things go from bad to worse, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Continue to be faithful. We need to continue to believe, continue to look back to that cross. Because in this way, we're always going to remember how out of love for us, He was faithful until death. Not just for a moment, until death and for eternity. When we look at that cross, at that sacrifice that Jesus did for us, we gain strength like Joshua and Caleb. That despite that, everybody else around you is gonna criticize you, is gonna rebel against you. It's probably going to tell you that you're crazy. Even when those moments of doubt and confusion and uncertainty comes, if everything just seems like hell is just everywhere, and it's confusing and you're doubting, the truth is, look back at that cross. Look back at that evidence that God loves you despite anything, and He loves you forever, not just for a moment. Gain that strength by looking back at the cross in your desert, in your problem, in whatever you're going through right now. Don't give up. Keep being faithful. Keep trusting that God will see you through it and that you will be declaring what He did for you. And in the same way that God revealed Himself and appeared to these people in the desert, He's gonna appear to you too. He is gonna show you that He is there with you in the process. So tonight, whatever process you're going through, whatever desert, whatever doubt, insecurity that you may be going through at this moment, if you've never accepted Christ in your life, if you don't know what that love is, I invite you that tonight, you take that opportunity to get to know that love. Because God is telling you, you know what? I'm here. So come to me because I'm here. I want you. I want to show you that I'm there, that I will see you through that process. If you're watching us online and you are one of those people that say, you know what? I don't know who Christ is, but I do want to get to know who Christ is. In this moment, write the word Christ on the comments because we want to pray for you. If you're here with us tonight and you're going through a process, a desert, doubting, uncertainty is just everywhere you turn. And you want to say, God, I need you. Raise your hand and let me pray for you. Wherever you are, I just encourage you, close your eyes and seek his presence. Close your eyes and let's declare that even though we don't see him, even though we don't know what's going on, even though there seems like there is no way out, that he is working in the midst of it, that he is there with you. Tonight, I want to let you know that God loves you despite any sin or any circumstance or any doubt that you may be going through. And he wants you to know that you are loved, that the same way that he died for me at the cross, he died for you too. So tonight, let's be encouraged to be faithful until death, so that we can all just declare that there is nothing better than being a Christian.